This is the Zodiac Degrees Podcast. I'm Greta Lee. Today, the degree I'm looking at is the 13th degree of Pisces. And the excuse for looking at this degree is the new moon that's happening at 12 degrees, 7 minutes of Pisces, which in ordinal numbers is the 13th degree of Pisces. That's happening on March 2nd, 2022. At 12:35 p.m. In Eastern Standard Time in like New York City time. All right, so the first image that I'm looking at for the 13th degree of Pisces is the woodcut image from the Astrolabium Planum. And it looks like there's two horse riders and they're riding together going from right to left, and it looks like there's a man and a woman riding together, each on a horse. They're like side by side. And the William Lilly translation of the caption says, "A man and a woman riding on horseback." And it says, "It denotes an idle person." Okay, so this is like a side thing about the Astrolabium Planum. A lot of the delineations to like interpret these images say it denotes an idle person, and like the images can be all like wildly different. So I'm going to have to like go through these degrees, and well, I am going through them one by one, but I want to specifically look at all the ones that say an idle person and then like compare all the pictures, because I just feel like it's like the worst interpretation because it's reused so much. And I don't understand why two people riding on horses would be idle. They're like traveling. I don't know. I mean, I know idle meaning like not working and being lazy, but so are they going on like a pleasure horse ride? Not sure. Okay. The Dr. Mark Edmund Jones, Sabian Symbols in Astrology, says a sword in a museum. So, I mean, thinking of just before I go into his interpretation of the idle person that they're trying to, William Lilly or Johannes Angelus or whoever, wherever that delineation came from, I could picture a sword in a museum as sort of something that's idle, or something that was once involved in lots of action that now is at rest. So, that might be a stretch, but that could connect. But okay, Dr. Mark Edwin Jones, a sword in a museum, the real weight of human personality, a surviving influence of the great figures in history. Wisdom becomes reincarnate in the new leadership to counter any counsel of confusion arising from uncertainty, the dramatization prior achievement. Example, a positive can be a personal power living in common ideals, and negative can be ridiculous pretense of epic merit. Right. So just the surviving influence of the great figures in history, I'm thinking of like that idea of the great man, way of viewing at history versus like trends and forces, right? Where people are studying, you know, Julius Caesar and Napoleon. I love a good biography, and I think like the whole individual is a microcosm of all the trends and forces is like kind of an interesting thing. Because I love natal charts, and I love like, oh my God, like the Peter the Great biography by Robert K. Massey. Any book by Tom Rice. He wrote like The Orientalist, or one called The Black Count, like these biographies that are these extraordinary lives that also tell about experiences of extraordinary times and places. I don't know. That's a whole side thing. But just thinking of like the sword in the museum behind glass, like I'm thinking of like Bolivar's sword, or going in Europe, there's all sorts of little museums that have just leftover medieval weaponry. I mean, or you can go to the Met in New York, and it's those are things are cool to see, but it's also like, wow, there's so much just like stuff that knights had, and it's still now it's just sitting around, you know. But then thinking of these people and like the history. So I mean, especially like right now, there's a whole Ukraine conflict going on, which is very serious and dramatic. But it's you look at these people who are acting now, like, you know, you see like Putin and, you know, Biden or whoever the leaders are, and and you think, you compare them to like, well, Napoleon invaded, you know, the rest of Europe, or Hitler, or what did Churchill do, or Roosevelt, or you start like bringing up these individuals who are major players, right? So each individual sort of reverberates through time, and actions reverberate through time. So yeah, I also thinking just that tarot card, the Ace of Swords, with the, I know there's a hand in it, but just that like sword on display being super symbolic and having all sorts of, you know, interpretations, or Excalibur and the stone, like that dormant weapon. I think the difference maybe between behind glass is like, it's clearly like a weapon of the past versus like Excalibur in the stone is like waiting for someone to use it in the future. Or like even think of like an axe behind glass, like those, like in case of emergency break for the fire axe, but that might be a little tangent, but I was thinking of some imagery like that. And there's a lot of cool examples. Dane Ridyard, The Astrology of Personality. Old weapons in a museum. In a glass case, a sacred sword. So now it's a sacred sword. And says, courage and fearlessness needed in the quest for spirit and real understanding, real faith in self, or emptiness of dread. And Dane Ridyard in An Astrological Mandala says, an ancient sword used in many battles is displayed in a museum. So it goes from old weapons to ancient, a little bit more aura there. And the keynote is, through the effectual use of his will, a consecrated man can become a symbol of courage for all those who follow in his footsteps. It says, willpower is the ultimate spiritual weapon, and its undeviating use is the certification of individual worth. The imperative need to make use of the will in meeting the basic challenges in the inner life as well as outer adversaries. The one power in man which is an assurance of victory in the contest generated by social or occult processes. The individual must use that willpower. It is not really his own once he operates at a spiritual level. It is God's will operating through his mind, which focuses its thrusts. Right, yeah, like where do people get their desires and their power? And someone who's like kind of possessed by, you know, possessed by some like spiritual mission, right? Or just think of like Kanye's song, like, or Drake or whatever, God's plans or God's plan. The power of brotherhood, the energy of the whole operating through the one pointed individual who has made this whole aware of the need for its use in a particular situation. All right. Okay. Moving on to Linda Hill, The Sabian Symbols as an Oracle. A sword used in many battles in a museum. It says, many struggles, battles, and conflicts. It's just crazy that this new moon, this is like, I know there's a lot going on as far as the, you know, the aspects and the transits and all that and the whole chart, but like the fact that this new moon is happening on March 2nd, 2022, and there's this, like, people are going hysterical over World War III happening and the conflict in Ukraine having so much media attention and so much, I mean, it's a very serious intense, horrible situation, which I will refrain from pontificating on too much because I feel like everything I read might be propaganda or listen to. I don't know really what's happening. I just only know just like the general historical arc in the most broad terms. But did these struggles and battles, they reverberate, like just thinking of like other regions. So people are already like on the internet, they're saying, well, you know, well, what about Gaza? You know, well, what about Syria? Well, what about these other, you know, there's all sorts of comparisons that have happened in the 21st century. And then people are like, well, Cold War conflicts. And this goes back beyond to you know, the Soviet Union and this, or this goes to World War II and the history of European conflict, or how the West interacts with, you know, the transition from Europe to Asia, all sorts of conflicts like that. I just think it's just so interesting that this new moon is happening right now with this imagery. It says, okay, back to Linda Hill. Because this also, like, hopefully this symbol, it doesn't just live in this conflict. It lives in all sorts of different ways in people's natal charts and in other charts before and after in history. It says, before had to defend the honor of something or someone, but now people look at it and wonder about its history. It's a masculine image. It's heroic, metallic, sharp, hard, forbidding. The sword has done its job now, and it's put away where it doesn't fight or defend. It's a symbol of a days gone by. I'm thinking of like an old boxer looking at his gloves, or like an old, you know, somebody looking at tools they used to use, or something like that, to make it a little bit less military. But it says, reminded of battles of the past. Influenced towards peace, uplifted by memory or strength of participants' bravery or valor, faced with the choice of fighting for something or reasoning with intellect. This can be confusing if you don't have training or experience of battle. The message here is to lay down your sword, not to surrender, but just in order to stop the warring. This could be someone who doesn't, this degree could symbolize someone who doesn't know when to stop fighting, when to stop taking others on, when to stop battling. There's a need to go for more peaceful solutions. There may be a lot learned experience from past battles, but the best thing to learn is that continuing to fight will lead to a bitter end where there's no true victor. Lay down the sword, let love and peace in your life. Putting the sword in a museum will let others benefit from learning about the struggles that have been undertaken. How long can one go on battling, fighting, and defending? Whoa, some keywords are willpower, martial arts, putting aside thoughts of vengeance and revenge, hanging up or laying down one's sword. Trophies of conquest that remind us of the past. History. Aging and maturing. Yeah, it feels like the Saturn thing coming in of like now this Marsian conflict is history. Like go from Mars to Saturn and sort of have some perspective. It also says retirement, remnants of battles, the sword of destiny, souvenirs of the past, words as swords, spear of destiny as distinct from the sword of destiny. Caution is lack of sensitivity, a pretense of one's ability, giving up and falling on one's sword from defeat, grudges, or wanting to go into the battle at the slightest excuse. And Linda Hill always has some quotes that go along with the imagery of the degree, and here's a few of them. The first one is, "Yet each man kills the thing he loves. By each let this be heard. Some do it with a bitter look, some with a flattering word. The coward does it with a kiss, the brave man with a sword." So Oscar Wilde. And also, if we could read the secret history of our enemies, we should find in each man's life sorrow and suffering enough to disarm all hostility. That's Longfellow. And then we are going to have peace, even if we have to fight for it. Dwight D. Eisenhower, which I think is an interesting quote, because he is definitely like a high commander who was sort of not bloodthirsty. I think some generals are kind of warriors, but like Eisenhower is sort of just like an office manager. He's a bureaucrat. He really didn't want people to die, you know, other in comparison to someone like Patton or, you know, some other sort of passionate generals who are true fighters. Okay. Cherubal, the degrees of the zodiac symbolized. And it says here, there is no symbol to this degree. And the interpretation is a degree charged with evil, wickedness, diabolical nature, subtle but plausible, destitute of real sympathy, treacherous to take this person into their confidence, reserved, studious, their favorite pursuit is black magic, liable to modification with a benefic on the ascendant or aspecting, but even in favorable circumstances, such a person will find strong leanings to injure his fellow men rather than do him good. Oof, that's a very negative. It seems like it's expanding on this theme of not knowing when to stop fighting. And it's like, you know, you can excuse or at least understand certain people who would fight or commit violence, but then it's like real psychopath, evil territory where it's like, you know, it's like, no, stop. Like, why are you still punching? They're not moving. Like, that's psycho, you know, or like, why are you still bombing that city? It's rubble. And of course, there's so many examples of stuff like that. Whew, okay. Sephiriel, the degrees of the zodiac symbolized. A circle within a circle, both concentric. Okay, pretty abstract. And it says, a life bounded by another, a happiness that can never be shared alone. The circle of existence will embrace the close relationships of a domestic life in perfect accord. The nature will be symmetrical and of abundant endowments, life rounded by a full experience of sweet influences, life in accord with environment, a mind at rest within itself, nature disposed to harmony, guarding and cherishing of those smaller attainments and less mature life. Guarding. Wow, that is just so, Cherubal's so negative and Sephiriel so like lovely. This reminds me of one of the images for the 29th degree of Leo, which is one I did recently, but that had this thing about like rings and, but the rings were kind of just touching. They weren't concentric. I mean, this is very abstract. But that being some sort of like relationship, or relational imagery. But there is something about this sort of danger. And then this is the keyword at the end, isn't like domestic bliss. It's guarding. Like there's a life bounded by another, and a happiness that can't be shared alone. It's not like this independent happiness. Like you have to have this protection. So there might be a threat outside of that protection. I wonder, and I'm just trying to think of like, this might connect to that couple riding their horses together, like kind of like the buddy system, maybe like protecting, like you wouldn't go out riding alone. You might get robbed by highwaymen, right? And so as this buddy system, you're like protecting each other. I don't know. I don't, that horse image seems a little far afield. Maybe not too connected, but okay. Isidore Kosminski's Zodiacal Symbology and Its Planetary Power. It says, a man crossing a bog on an old tree, which has long ago fallen. It says, meets with public favor and support. Temper will be severely tried and tested, possessed by radical feelings, and circumstances will compel him to obtain conservative support. The support will be grudgingly given. The symbol of preserving. This thing of that grudge, resentment. And there was in the Mark Edmund Jones, there was the thing about like the individual in history. And so this seems like there's this radical kind of poking out from the conservative sort of safe circle. That sort of, yeah, it's still about preserving, just like guarding. And there's something about the group and then the individual who's like testing the group or going outside of the group, maybe almost like a scout or a protector or someone who's preserving. I mean, the temper will be severely tied and tested. Oh, it's interesting. Okay. Patterns here building. Helene and Willem Kapayan, The Zodiac Image Handbook. Okay. This one's, sometimes they're very long and literary. It says, at the left side of the image, a warrior with his back towards us has ridiculously over-equipped himself with all sorts of weapons, including a rifle, a sword, and an axe. He is aiming at an invisible target with a bow and arrow. He stands on the bank of a river where we see a rowing boat in which a woman is sitting with her arms around her knees. There are no oars, so that the boat is floating with the current away from the man. A lot there. It says slackness. It also says a Tartarin de Tarascon, a boastful warrior based on a 19th century novel by Alphonse Daudet. Okay, never read that. This says, appears laughable. Why use a bow and arrow when you have a rifle? Who is he fighting? We do not see his adversary. Is he imagining innocent sparrows or starlings as an eagle? This is someone lacking any sense of proportion. I feel like that's such a like a Pisces thing. I feel like they're like Pisces energy is like often there's like this out of whack. There's this like big emotional or theatrical reaction to small things, or very calm, like mystical reaction to big, you know, big things. Which I think that sounds like this. Like almost like this Pluto is often is talked about things that are made big or small, but it's almost like there is like that Neptuning thing of like, what is going on? Is this a battle? Is this guy playing? And sometimes like that Pisces attitude is like, what is going on? Is this a real problem? Or is this just a big emotional reaction? Or is this just a game? Okay, it says, no insight on the gradations of value. What they foresee will not happen. Forever busy with illusions, their actions are futile. The woman in the boat is the tendency to surrender to circumstances. They're not greatly concerned about the future or even the present or past. They're not learning the essential lessons. They do not see the urgency of everyday life. They do not acknowledge reality. There is a huge discrepancy between the male and female side of this image. Just think of that double-bodied Pisces, right? The two fish swimming in opposite ways. There's like the all-out assault or the all-out retreat and sort of just giving up and just sitting in a boat and being washed out. It says weak-willed. No interest in important questions. Thoughts wander, imagination floats, cannot concentrate on any one thing, and the whole existence is fragmented. It says this is one of the most dangerous degrees of the zodiac. There's an energy leak here. It says that this degree can cause defects and nullify functioning planets. Okay. And then it also says the woman is doing remarkably well. She's floating with the tide and may be more valuable than ambition and striving. Oh, so floating with the tide might be just like, yeah, it might be more like ambition and striving might come to nothing. So maybe just like preserving your energy and going with the flow is a better strategy. It says Pisces is a sign of non-aggression and defenseless disarmament. Right. So that is a really interesting point. There's this very like Mars symbol this is the middle of Pisces. This is like prime Jupiter territory, I'd say. Let me check the actual decan and degrees or bounds. Yeah, the middle decan and the bounds or the Egyptian terms are both round, both ruled by Jupiter here. This is very Jupiter-y. So it's interesting this is such a martial image. Although it says that the triplicity lord of Pisces during night is Mars. So yeah, I don't know if that applies, but so it, this is an interesting image. I mean, and it's also Jupiter can be this like expansion and blown out of proportion, right? So this like great sort of reaction and great show of force that's kind of just a show. Interesting. So it says, is this ludicrous warrior actually ridiculing military aggression? One can kill an enemy and dispose of a physical body, but it's ludicrous to think that one can destroy the idea that the enemy embodied. Ah, so it's like you're just fighting the specter. You're fighting, you're just shadow boxing. You're fighting ideas. One cannot kill the astral vibrations or the enemy's beliefs. One can only penetrate them with love and light. That makes me think of a friend brought up this guy, Alexander Dugin, D-U-G-I-N, who is like a sort of a philosopher that has Putin's ear. Says, and Wikipedia says he's a far-right Russian philosopher, professor, political analyst, and strategist. And he's just this idea that he's written all these books. He understands, quote unquote, neoliberalism and the West. And this idea that there's some strong ideas coming every which way, right? And so physical conflicts can go into some pretty abstract realms of belief systems, of perspectives, of very complex worldviews, right? Okay, so it says, the warrior in this image has all these weapons, but he's using a more primitive choice. And that brings to mind the fact that Einstein said World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones, or fought with the bludgeons or something. And here we are, World War III. I feel like that's overblown, hopefully. But I feel like that might be hysterical and emotionally manipulative. But I don't know what's going on, obviously. So it says, archetype of turning axes into plowshares. These people might get control of their mutable cross. Discernment and manual skills are Gemini, practical training Virgo, confidence is Sagittarius, and the will to let go is Pisces. So the essence of this image is thou shall not kill. Those who do not believe God has miracles in store have not yet understood the essence of this image. It says on Judgment Day, all the yes, but arguments will be discounted. Whoever does not believe this will have to find out the hard way. Okay, the second image is old weapons in a museum and a sacred sword displayed in a glass case. And it says, the time will come when the foolish will destroy their weapons. Outer aggression and war in these people will end, but inside them will remain an arsenal of hate, like the memory of a dream of evil. True courage and light show deliverance from fear. No weapons of war are needed when we understand each other. Even the holy sword is no more. The greatest scoundrels in history have hidden behind such terms as holy wars or Christian warriors. The holy or Christian soldiers. The holy sword of all religions should be laid down. How ridiculous they look under glass. Only those who surrender to the stream of life do battle with themselves, and with persistence win against the ridicule hurled at them for being conscientious objectors, will win their way from hate to holiness. The sword is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. a future where weapons of war are objects of curiosity in the museum showcases. And this Pisces degree contains one of the highest human values, which is interesting because there's so much like danger and darkness and fear in that charitable image, but also maybe the greatest potential for higher human values here. And it's just, I can't believe how much stuff there is about war and peace. It's just like, wow. Okay. Adriano Corelli, the 360 degrees of the zodiac. Okay. It says, this degree is about being subjected to divalent influences, right? So valence being like, it's such like a Richard Tarnas word he uses all the time. But it's like that chemistry word that measures the amount of combinations that atoms can have. Am I saying it's like the it's about the combining power of an element. So carbon has a valence of 4, like it can combine in 4 ways. It's very like Richard Tarnas and like the Tao of physics sort of thing, where people turn chemistry words or science words into like these spiritual concepts, which it starts getting pretty spiritual and abstract when you get into like advanced science. So it works. The root word of valence is like the Latin valere, which means strong, powerful, influential, healthy, or to prevail, to be strong. So it has 2 strengths, right? It can go this way or that way, or two ways it's being influenced. And it says the native will feel an unescapable urge to help or harm his neighbors. There's no living and let live for him. Inner life does not seem to fulfill him. His center of gravity seems to lie outside his self. There's raw stuff to which other pointers and patterns make shape. This person's like, that makes sense as like Pisces formlessness. And they're like looking outside of themselves for sort of landmarks and patterns to figure out. The nativity is pointing to goodness and straightforwardness will make this person a good marriage partner, an excellent cooperator, an exemplary citizen, and one who will protect the oppressed and poor, or one who will spread a soothing influence. That seems like that was the safarial image. Yet even in the best sense, he will have to meddle with other people's business and will haunt them even when they would rather enjoy their privacy. Oh my God, that's just such like overbearing, codependent behavior of forcing yourself. And I'm just helping. It's just like, just leave people alone sometimes, right? I'm just helping. And that being connected to wanting to spar with people. It's like you're wanting to connect, aggressively wanting to connect. And it could be like positive and you're aggressive, like sort of pushing yourself to help. Or it could just be pushing, you know, and being aggressive and actually fighting and even being aggressively like, you know, with words or violent, right? And it says, if born evil, he will take to black magic and hurt others without afterthought for the sheer joy of it. He will oppress the poor, sadistically torture those who love him. He will be the devil incarnate. Okay. And then an indifferent nativity will just produce a pointless meddler. this is such a really intense degree. It's like, is like a good marriage partner. They will protect the oppressed and the poor, or just a busybody that's gossiping and trying to get it, just trying to like a neighbor that's looking, peering through their blinds and asking you annoying questions or something. Okay. Or completely evil, but you know, I guess that's anybody perhaps. But if you have this, I don't know. We'll look at the people too when I look through the data, which I have, but we'll see how that pops up. Gerald L. Keane, Practical Astrology, says, unsteady, one who waxes and wanes, blows hot and cold, seldom stays in one tack for a very long period of time, easily swayed by others, sometimes seeks refuge in drugs and alcohol. This is interesting because it's like that dual valent nature, that Pisces, the one fish swimming up, the one fish swimming down. One dog's looking that way, one dog's looking the other way. Like, Goodfellas. And yeah, that's interesting. Very yin-yang, very Pisces. Okay. E.C. Matthews, fixed stars and degrees of the zodiac analyzed. Adaptable. Impressionable and idealistic. Suited to drama, music, art, or literature. Some of the natives are sensuous. What does that mean? This is like 1945, so I think that means some of them are like promiscuous. I think maybe that's what sensuous means. Like they like sex, and that's judgy. Like that's bad in the 40s. That's could lead to danger. It says, but is one of the best degrees in Pisces. Venus exalted makes a good leader here, right? Venus is beautiful in Pisces. And this is kind of seems like general Pisces stuff. But okay, Donna Walter Henson, degrees of the zodiac, business ability, actors, love and understanding of animals, a keen horseman. Okay, that's kind of like the wood print, but this is, I think, the only mention of horses in all the interpretations. So impressionable and romantic, yet well-balanced, idealistic, then repeats what E.C. Matthews says, and also artery of the left foot. Because in medical astrology, Pisces rules the feet. Esther V. Leinbach, degrees of the zodiac, revised edition. Okay, prone to shun own uniqueness, to blend in with others. Important for native to find their own rightful place. Impressionable and romantic. Oh yeah. So, Donna Walter Henson said that, and E.C. Matthews said that, right? Oh, E.C. Matthews said impressionable and idealistic, may lead to curtailing development to reach unrealistic goals. Most try too hard for too long to adapt to ordinary ways of living. This will never work. Yeah, Pisces, let your freak flag fly, you know, don't try to be like the normals. It also says, must develop unique individuality to function in a meaningful way with other people, right? So you won't function if you're trying to fit in a box, right? You gotta be yourself. It says, to thine own self be true. And I think this bleeds into some of this 12th degree signification. I see that a little bit where like some books will sort of overlap, and I'm sometimes tempted to like pull a nearby interpretation into other degrees, but I'm really just trying to be as like regimented as possible. And there's always orb. So of course there's orb with the 12th degree of Pisces here and the 14th, and even beyond to like 3 degrees probably. Or another degree or whatever. Martin Goldsmith, the zodiac degrees. This one is, a Chinese student of martial arts enters a vaulted hall and sees a sword floating in midair, held only by a disembodied hand. He walks towards it as if in a trance. And yeah, this is like instantly when I read the Sabian symbol at first, I thought of the tarot card. With the Ace of Swords, with that disembodied hand holding the sword. So so did Martin Goldsmith or whoever wrote this image. It says, accepting whatever spiritual gifts that are offered, whether inherited or from an invisible source. Humble transmission of whatever odd spiritual vision comes into one's mind, channelers or artistic eccentrics, making good on inherited talents. Parents may help career, but must maintain an independence of will. That seems similar to the thing of like must develop your own uniqueness to really function in the world. Like you may be trying to do the career your parents picked out for you, but you'll have to kind of shake those expectations. It says developing correct stance towards one's problems, determination to reach a high level of attainment, educating oneself in an arcane field of knowledge versus apprenticing oneself to an acknowledged master, rising through one's talents, Jack and the Beanstalk stories, intellectual self-confidence, feeling connected to incontrovertible truth, making dogmatic pronouncements, discovering and grasping an unusual, unawakened potency. Okay, John Sambach, the Chandra Symbols, says, a woman imprisoned in a high tower. It says, protecting one's inner instinct from the repressive tendencies of rationality and logic. The woman in the high tower makes me think of that woman in the boat. And it's interesting because it's like, this is such a martial and masculine image. And then Pisces is quite it's a yin feminine sign. So this sort of interplay of gender here is kind of interesting. Okay, Elias Lonsdale, a woman imprisoned in a high tower, and says, sentenced to limbo. This multivalent thing, or this being pulled in both ways of like retreating or fighting, this limbo, that makes sense. It says, suspended from active participation in active worlds, resigned, operating insensitively, then unable to do anything with anybody. I'm almost like picturing now, like identifying as that sword behind glass of like, once you're out there on the battlefield and now you're just a relic in a museum, and like that feeling of wanting to be like back into it, but having that been long ago, your action has been suspended. It says, operating insensitively, then unable to do anything with anybody. So it's like maybe that sort of put behind glass because of all the chaos and drama and battles and violence, you're barred from participating because you're a sword, because you're, you know, cutting people up, or you know, cutting people up with your intellect or your words or your harshness or something. It says living alone, dreaming and drugged, dim and dark memories, self-circumscribed, like setting limits on yourself, depriving yourself, living on memories and mute desires to move on someday, vacuum-pressed, emotionally grief-stricken, nostalgic and raging. Oof, toxic combo. Elias Lonsdale has some of the most beautiful interpretations. Nostalgic and raging. Ooh, that's a potent mix, huh? And says, not getting across, muffled. Very, very interesting take on this sort of emotional state behind the conflict and that removal from the conflict. Really interesting. All right. Gavin McClung, new bottles and new wine. And it says, a vintage season gets no real recognition until the wine is in the bottle and has passed its full due season there. And this cannot happen without the faith and vision to save for the future and to await its natural maturity. Keyword is optimism. And there's a tendency to place the most favorable construction upon events and actions, or to anticipate always best possible outcome. Wow, I like this sort of, this museum, this instead of like a sword in a museum, this is such a Venusian or like, well, I guess it's kind of Jupiterian, but this like wine is just such a like, you know, so you have it at dinner, you use it to celebrate. But there is like that Piscean intoxication, and putting it behind glass versus putting it in the glass, in a bottle, to age. It's better with age. Maybe you don't want to use a 500-year-old sword when you don't bring a decorative saber to a gunfight or anything. But for, I guess you wouldn't want a 500-year-old bottle of wine either. But, you know, you wine improves with age. We get it. We get the metaphor here. Which, and I think also thinking about the sword is like memories improve with age. I mean, or like you think, ah, the glorious battles of yesteryear, but you know it was always confusing and stressful and horrible in the battle. But then you look back at it and you see the arc of history and the narrative and this and that, and you can kind of like listen to the story of a civil war battle, maybe because it's, you know, or a battle from the Punic Wars or something like that, without it being so emotionally raw. So there's something with age that muffles the drama. Unfortunately, there's no hidden secret in the Address of the Stars because it's an incomplete manuscript and there's no Pisces. But there is a shout out that David, the centaur, what's his name? He's like he's David Centaur Tuner at Centaur Space on Twitter. He like posts about this book. I should thank him. It's a Degrees of the Zodiac Magnified by Mohan Koparkar. And he also told me about Gavin McClung. So a lot of times Twitter seems like a pretty weird place, but it's nice when like somebody reaches out or you have a kind of like interchange with somebody and it's like, oh, cool. There's other, you know, astrology smart weirdos like me. So hi, David. Okay. Mohan Kopar says this degree is indecisiveness. Always at conflict with someone among their family and friends. Usually due to them trying to please everyone. That's like the more of this like codependency and that relationship thing. So that's so interesting that, so yeah, I'm so happy I found this book because this is a great cohesive description of that connects to several of the other descriptions. This conflict can come from trying to meddle positively, but then you're trying to please everybody. You don't have correct boundaries. Your own desires or perspective or agency is confused, and that causes conflict, right? It says impulsive random planning with no pre-planning, communicates sensuously but sarcastically to their spouse, and then respectful outside the home. That's interesting and specific. It says financially headstrong or irrational, later in life becomes more practical, as most people do. Artistic and lazy, but work efficiency increases when a project is closer to completion. Intellectual resources here are undeveloped, and the childhood is full of unusual activities and maybe have been psychic as a child. All right, so going through some prominent people, you know, who have these degrees activated in their natal chart, working through the planets. I'm sure a couple of these examples have the wrong birth time, so if there's a mistake, you know, you can always point it out. But I like to give a general overview of not just like the abstract imagery, but also like, you know, it helps to say, oh yeah, Beyonce has Saturn in Libra, and it kind of explains a little bit, right? So I feel like some of these prominent people are helpful shorthand, and especially if you have one of these planets, it's kind of cool sometimes as being like, oh, I have my sun here and I love this actor who has this Jupiter there. Like that makes sense that their Jupiter makes me shine, or, you know, stuff like that is always a little fun and light. So, okay. Sun at the 13th degrees in Pisces. So looking at a chart, it'll be like 12 Pisces because I'm using ordinal numbers, because like ordinal numbers doesn't have a zero. It just starts at one. So the 0 degrees is the first degree. Anyway, okay, we have Jessica Biel, actress, Chris Martin, the musician, Daniel Craig, James Bond. So that's kind of like an interesting, like that sword on display, that's sort of like that international spy meddling around among the world, right? He's like Britain's, like that British sort of imperialism, but it's more this like vestige fantasy of this all-powerful British hunk going through the world and, you know, being smarter and more dapper and more and winning every fight. So I think that kind of fits in nice. John Bon Jovi, actress Jean Harlow, Alexander Graham Bell, right? The inventor of the telephone, which is interesting of this, this thing of like reaching out, and there's just some sort of like back and forth. I mean, not always for conflict, but this thing of, people having to be involved with other people. also Lee, Radziwill, who is the younger sister of Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy. And Brian Edward Cox, who is a English physicist and former musician. I love that combination. It happens from time to time, but that sort of like abstract in two fields, right? Physics and music, both sort of like delving into patterns beyond at the edge of our understanding. He's a public, like intellectual, public presenter of science, like TV shows. And he has like popular science books, like Why Does E Equals MC Squared and The Quantum Universe. The sun at the 13th degree of Pisces is the sculptor Constantine Brancusi. Very, very elegant sculptures. Love his work. We have Laird John Hamilton, who is an American big wave surfer. And he was a co-inventor of tow-in surfing. Also, Pope Pius the 12th, who was the pope before, like, the Pope Paul, the 20th century pope that, like, was the pope when I was a kid, right? This was the guy who was the head of the Catholic Church from March 1939 until his death in 1958. The Vatican was officially neutral during World War II, and he was criticized for being publicly silent and inactive about the fate of, you know, of Jews and of other people who are being persecuted. But he did employ diplomacy to aid some victims of the Nazis during the war and did actually save hundreds of thousands of lives quietly where they could. But people were kind of saying that they could have done more. It's kind of interesting of like, I'm sure that there was a threat there. I don't know. I'm sure there's lots of valid criticisms and valid defenses. It's a kind of quite a complicated situation of like, of what do you do? How far do you go? What actions do you take publicly? Do you agree publicly so secretly you could help more people, or do you take a stand? And that sort of thing of like how to engage in conflict and how, yeah. And I feel like that is, just very relevant today, right? And also, here's someone who chose a way to attempt to peacefully engage in conflict when there was suffering all around. Very interesting that his son is there. Camille de Moulin. I'm sorry, my French pronunciation is horrible. But he is a French journalist and politician who played an important role in the French Revolution. He was like friends with Robespierre, and he was one of those revolutionaries that eventually got killed by the revolution, right? Going too far, not knowing when to stop, and then or kind of like fighting and losing at a certain point, and having engaged in that fight, you know, it's the high stakes, right? When the guillotine's out. Okay, moon at the 13th degree of Pisces. Love a Pisces moon. Very magical. Very sensitive. Paul Cézanne, right? One of the greatest painters of the 19th century, hugely influential, love Cézanne. And one of those painters you can like endlessly learn from if you love to paint. Look at Cézanne, one of those painters that make you want to go at home and paint, go to your studio and paint. He's great. You know, Picasso loved him. Everyone loves Cézanne. And he's also, one thing that I love about Cézanne is he was like really obscure through his whole life. And he finally kind of hit his stride when he was a really old man. So he's kind of this late bloomer success story. And it's just, he's just awesome. He's incredible. I love him. Okay. Also, Sarah Michelle Gellar, thinking she played Buffy, like the witch or whatever. And that thing of, there was like a couple different symbols that said dabbles in black magic and stuff. So that's interesting. Also Rachel Weisz, am I saying her name right? She's a British actress, been a lot of high quality stuff. And she was in The Favourite. She was, not the queen, not Emma Stone, but right, the other one, and with the dark hair. So that's interesting. Also, Silvio Berlusconi, the politician, and Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, right? The German poet. I mean, this guy, the Goethe, right? Poet, playwright, novelist, scientist, statesman, theater director, critic. He's widely regarded as one of the greatest and most influential writer in German language. Huge, huge influence on like all Western thought, literary, political, philosophical, a hugely like a giant of, and I mean, I feel like I've only encountered like a fraction of his work. That there's a mostly in color theory, because I feel like that's the deepest, the most sort of like esoteric I got in his realm. But it's something, as someone's work, I probably revisit at a certain point. But that's very interesting. I mean, he's just brilliant. And I believe that like German cultural grants are given like out in his name. Like he is just like the guy in Germany for any creative person. I think that he's like the great grandfather of all German creativity. Okay. Also, Gianni Versace of the Versace fashion house, Ramakrishna, who was a Hindu mystic from 19th century Bengal. So mystics are always very prevalent in the Piscean realm. He was a devotee to the goddess Kali, which is definitely a fierce goddess. And so there's like a ferocity and a danger to this degree. And Kali definitely is a dangerous goddess. Like, you do not mess around with Kali. She will burn shit down. And she will like fuck your like decapitated corpse. That's Kali. That's how she rolls. So thank you, Kali. Okay. Tony Parker, a basketball player. Also Kenny Chesney, who's a country singer, is a moon Mercury conjunction. So that's a nice like songwriter or emotional songwriter. Probably I've never heard his music, but, Vaslav Nijinsky he lived from 1890 to 1950, and he was a ballet dancer and choreographer, cited as the greatest male dancer in the history of early 20th century, born in Kiev to Polish parents. So shout out to Kiev, which is being bombarded by Russian tanks and stuff right now. So stay strong, and the world cares about you, and that's heartbreaking. But Vaslav Nijinsky, greatest dancer, Piscean dancer, right? So he was famous for being able to dance on point, which is a very rare skill among male dancers at the time, and was admired for his seemingly gravity-defying leaps. Also, quintessential Pisces moon, John Williams, who is the composer who wrote the Star Wars music, Jaws, Close Encounter of the Third Kind, which is like, ding, that has like a song baked into the plot. Superman, E.T., Indiana Jones, Home Alone, Jurassic Park, Schindler's List, and the first three Harry Potter films. So yeah, John Williams, like the big emotional movie music. Also, Dan Reynolds, who's also a musician and has his moon here, in the band Imagine Dragons. And James Clavell, who was a writer of a TV show, Shogun, which I think was in the 80s or something. Okay, Mercury. Mercury is technically in its fall in Pisces, which always leads to interesting iterations. So we have George Chamberlain, who is an actor and a singer, and he was in lots of TV shows. He was lots of TV shows. Dr. Kildare. He was in that TV show Shogun, the miniseries was based that James Clavell wrote. So it was a miniseries based on the adventures of English navigator William Adams, who journeyed to Japan in the 1600s and rose to high rank in the service of the Shogun. So Williams Adams, I looked up his chart. He has the 15th degree of Pisces. This is Pluto. So I think that's interesting that the writer and actor for a tale about his life sort of hits his chart. But moving back to George Chamberlain, he was also the first man to play Jason Bourne. He played that in 1988. And I guess like Jason Bourne, I feel like has a thing that's similar to Daniel Craig or James Bond in that sense of that that secret weapon that activated man as a weapon, right? That fighting isn't in control of when he fights. He's just turned on by the queen or by the code word or whatever. So that's interesting. Okay, Arthur Schopenhauer. The German philosopher has his Mercury here, best known for his 1818 work, The World as Will and Representation. So it characterizes the phenomenal world as a product of blind nominal will. So I think that's interesting of the experience, but then like what's behind the experience, what's behind the sensations. And I think that's an interesting, he was like one of the first Western philosophers who brought in ideas from Indian philosophy and talking about how the world is just an appearance. The world is just a dream or the world is an illusion, right? That Piscean intoxication or fog machine and that Neptunian influence in Pisces. He's been described as an exemplary manifestation of philosophical pessimism, right? Like saying this is not real. And Mercury in fall in Jupiter sign, like Jupiter is a planet of hope. You know, it's like Mercury's here to be like, no, actually, I don't believe it. I don't believe my eyes. I don't think this is real. I'm not buying it. That's interesting. Okay, also, let's see. Matthew Greig Gubler has his Mercury here. He's an actor. Ayrton Senna, who is a Formula One racing driver who died in a crash in the 90s. Lily Collins, Big Sean, the rapper. Kenny Chesney, as I said before, has a Moon-Mercury conjunction. So Jennifer Grey. So she's Baby from Dirty Dancing, right? And a bunch of other movies. But Dirty Dancing, I think, is a huge one she'll always be remembered for. And she has a conjunction. Her Mercury has a conjunction with Venus, like just a degree off. And then also her Moon's also in Pisces at the very end. So very Piscean figure there. Nikolai Gogol, who is a Russian novelist and a short story writer, playwright of Ukrainian origin, and was one of the first to use the technique, the grotesque technique. So he lived in like the 19th century. So he was hugely influential on Dostoevsky, Flannery O'Connor, Franz Kafka, and lots of other writers. So I love to see writers with Mercury in Pisces because it's interesting. Like he was writing about grotesque things. You know, it's kind of like a something maybe normally people wouldn't look at, or there's something interesting about why he chooses to write that way, something different. Mercury is not behaving like it usually does. Also Louis the 15th of France, Wanda Sykes, she has a Mercury Mars conjunction right at this degree. And she really does have a pointed way of delivering jokes, right? She's kind of like, she has a certain accusation and intelligence and sort of, I think a lot of us stand-ups and comedians, I'm always interested where their Mars are, because where their Mars is in their chart, because jokes often have a barb to them. But Wanda Sykes really does have her special sort of like, just sort of this funny harshness about her. Like she's got that like no nonsense, but it's always funny, right? Also Jordan Peele, of Key and Peele, another comedy guy, right? And horror director. He did Get Out. He did Us. Again, like a comedy guy, but then he's into horror and into that like gasp and into that like commentary, that barbed commentary. Although he doesn't have a Mars here too, just Mercury. George Simon Ohm, German physicist and mathematician. So I love to see these scientists and mathematicians and brilliant minds in Pisces. There's tons. And Bela Bartok, Hungarian composer, pianist, ethnomusicologist. He basically invented ethnomusicology and studied Hungarian folk music. Love Bartok compositions. Shirley Jones, who was in lots of wholesome musical films like Oklahoma, Carousel, Music Man, and then she was a mother on the Partridge Family. And another music person, very different than Bartok. And then Guccio Gucci, who is the founder of the House of Gucci. And Diane Wiest, the actress, who is great. Okay, Venus exalted at the 13th degree of Pisces. We have some strong women here. Diana Ross. Okay. Diana Ross has her Venus here. I mean, who is more empowered and feminine and incredibly creative and rich and all these she is Venus embodied almost like Diana Ross. I mean, the Supremes, her solo career. I mean, she's just like a diva, very empowered, dignified woman. Just, you know, I think she's just could be like, that's a great one. Also Ava Herzigova, who is a model who had her sort of big break debut as a model for the Wonder Bra. So I feel like another like very essential Venusian figure of like a big bra from the 90s that everyone was talking about. Like also Alexa Damara, another model, Britt Robertson, just like some beautiful women with Venus. So I mean, shout out to all the femmes, the women, the feminine part of you, even if you're more masculine or you're man or whatever. I mean, like the Venus in Pisces is just like beauty, right? That feminine beauty is rare. Bridget Fonda also. And here's another one that's interesting. Edith Wharton, right? The author of The Age of Innocence. She was the first woman to win the Pulitzer Prize in literature. And she really had this intelligence of understanding empowered rich women, the upper class of the New York aristocracy, and relationships, and how they really happen. She realistically portrayed people's values, right? Like the morals of the Gilded Age. She was very critical of that, but and you know, super talented writer, you know, an artist. Also, Mary Bastier, a French aviator, a woman who set international records for female aviators in the 1930s. Another powerful woman. Okay, there are you know, men. there's Olivia Besancenot, who is a French left anti-capitalist figure, and Alfred Adler, which is interesting. He's a medical, he lived from 1870 to 1937, an Austrian medical doctor, a psychotherapist. He did a lot of works around the feelings of inferiority and the inferiority complex. So that's so interesting, of this like fighting and this, this like hanging up the sword or fighting till you lose sort of thing. And he talked a lot about the social element, and the readjustment of the individual into society to bring his like psychological growth or gains from psychiatry back into his community. So that's another interesting point of this, like this person who's meddling, even if it's positive, right? We also have Sir Richard Francis Burton, who was a really interesting figure, who was a sort of like a interesting British explorer, writer, scholar, soldier. He lived from 1821 to 1890, and he's best known. He had a very interesting life. This seems like someone who's worth reading a biography on. But he took a well documented journey to Mecca in disguise. So this is in the 19th century, and at that time, Europeans were forbidden to access Mecca and if they were found, they would be killed, right? So how Piscean is that, risking your life to have a forbidden, beautiful, mystical experience? It's just like, kill me. I need to see Mecca, and I will stop at nothing. It's more important than my life to experience that. That's so, and it just must have been so, just imagining that world and his experience going all the way there and sneaking in. Just incredible. I mean, I guess you could also be like, that's super disrespectful. He should respect the boundaries of that. But also, I love the allure of people sneaking in where they're not supposed to be. I just think that's a great story. He also translated a complete and uncensored version of the 1001 Nights, the Arabian Nights, and also the Kama Sutra into English, and also the Perfumed Garden, which is known as the Arab Kama Sutra. So he's just, I mean, I think that his life story could go on and on, but a very interesting figure, very Piscean, and this exalted Venus here of like art, experience, literature, religion, the stuff that like this makes Pisces weep and, you know, cheer. Okay, we also have Ludwik Mirolowski, a Polish general, writer, poet, historian, political activist, and another math genius, Alexander Grothendieck, who was a leading figure in the creation of modern algebraic geometry. Okay, Mars in Pisces. We've got Louis Ferdinand Céline, the guy who wrote Death on the Installment Plan. So It said that what Joyce did for the English language, what the surrealist attempted to do for the French language, Céline achieved effortlessly and on a vast scale. Incredibly accomplished, advanced French author who then sort of besmirched his public esteem by writing anti-Semitic stuff in the late 1930s and siding with Nazi Germany and France. I think like a lot of people, then he became very controversial because, you know, a lot of people are just like, that is indefensible, especially when, you know, France is getting invaded and the whole Holocaust thing. So, yeah, interesting, though, especially that since there's all that interpretation of like people here can be evil. And it's just it's interesting to see that people who may be exceptional a certain thing. I mean, that even evil people are complicated, right? Like he's exceptional about something, but evil exists. And this guy was Nazi and that's evil. And it's just like, it's out there. Evil is out there, you know? Okay. But also someone who's not evil, who has their Mars at this degree is Shirley Temple. She has Mars at the 13th degree of Pisces. And I was thinking about that, and I think she's like aggressively hopeful, right? She's just like, turn your frown. I don't know what she says. Turn your frown upside down, or like, I remember there's that one where her father's rich, and then he becomes poor, and she's like, oh, it's great. I still like I like your bad apartment. You know, it's like we can still be happy and that sort of stuff. Very necessary in the depression, I guess. Also, Chris Isaak, who is known for that very sensual song hit in the 90s, Wicked Game, a guitar song. Also Stan Lee has his Mars here. So he's like, was like the head of creative, the creative director at Marvel. And he collaborated with others like Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko, but he with them created iconic characters like Spider-Man, X-Men, Iron Man, Thor, the Hulk, Ant-Man, Wasp, Fantastic Four, Black Panther, Daredevil, Doctor Strange, Scarlet Witch, and Black Widow. So all the Marvel Creative Universe stuff, which is a little, I mean, some people love it. I think it's like maybe a little much. Like I can't get into some of these obscure guys, but I don't, you know, but I have to, this Mars in Pisces, super creative, imaginative, fighting characters, right? It's like our era's mythical warriors. All right. We also, we have Tristan Cesara, another just like a very creative person, was a Dada, member of the Dada movement, right? So that disruption of Dada, that like Dada was supposed to make you question reality, is a protest against reality. It was a protest against reason because, you know, reasonable people wage wars, reasonable people pay their taxes to pay for the tanks and the bombs. And so the only way to stop the insanity is to be insane, right? I mean, if a reasonable people say we need to go to nuclear war, why would you want to be a reasonable person, right? And that's like kind of the ethos behind Dada. And he was a major Romanian and French figure. So went probably from Romania to France. Also, Leopold Mozart has his Mars here. And he's best known for being Mozart's father, who's also a musician. Felix Dzerzhinsky, and his nickname was Iron Felix, and he was a Bolshevik revolutionary and official who like established the secret police for the post-Soviet regime. So he was born into Polish nobility, and from 1917 to 1926, he was like head of the secret police. And he was like one of the architects of the Red Terror. So another like evil guy, I guess. And just like just meddling. I mean, just like the secret police, like that, this idea of meddling and this disrupting people's lives. And this seems pretty evil, although I would be interested to learn more about this guy's life. Another Felix, we have Christian Felix Klein, another math genius, lived in 1849 to 1925. So another mathematician. Jupiter. Jupiter in its own sign. So lucky, lucky Jupiter in beautiful, beautiful Pisces. We have Tom Cruise, Jordan Peterson, Jordan Belfort, who is the real life Wolf of Wall Street guys. All right. He got a lot of money, but he was doing it in the kind of evil way. Yeah, I feel like Tom Cruise, just that Jupiterian giant theatrical fighting, right? Top Gun, Mission Impossible. It's always like a fight. It's always conflict. It's always sort of like war-like. A lot of his big, his like spy stuff, or yeah, the fighter pilot stuff, I think is really like, makes sense of that, like fighting behind glass almost like that. It's like the movie screen is like the glass pane, and the movie is the fight. And it's just like, yeah. Paula Abdul, a lot of, you know, she's very successful and theatrical, right? Leo, who L-I-O, a Portuguese language singer. Ryan Felipe, Ryan Seacrest, Josh Peck, Henry Miller, the author. Ethiopia, the country. I mean, sometimes I gloss over places, but also Algeria independence chart. Interesting. Wanda Landowska, who is a Polish harpsichordist and pianist who revived the popularity of the harpsichord in the early 20th century, which is interesting. It's like kind of like taking that harpsichord out of the museum and playing it again, or like taking the sword out from the glass and, you know, wielding it one last time, or, if, you know, for a show maybe. Also Ally Sheedy, the actress in The Breakfast Club, who's the goth girl. Evangeline Adams, fascinating astrologer who definitely should look up and is really interesting. There's, I think, a whole astrology podcast on her that's really good. Hakim Abdul Olajuwon, who is nicknamed The Dream. He's a former basketball player. So I just think that's the most Pisces nickname ever, so I do include him. The Dream. Also, Jean-Baptiste Camille Corot, which is a French landscape and portrait painter. Joan Osborne, the musician. Eugene Fresnet, who is a structural and civil engineer and the major pioneer of pre-stressed concrete. That's good. That's a lot. Okay, Saturn. Saturn at the 12th degree of Pisces. Edward Casey, the clairvoyant mystic. Salman Khan, who's a Bollywood star. We have people born from like 94 to 95. We have like Megan Thee Stallion, Ashton Irwin in the band 5 Seconds of Summer, and a singer named Johnny. Also not born in 1995, but Frank Black from the Pixies. So more sort of musical brilliance, a lot of musicians here. Carolyn Bessette Kennedy, who was the wife of JFK Jr. She was a publicist for Calvin Klein, and they died in a plane crash together off the coast of Martha's Vineyard, tragically, the Kennedy curse. Ed Gein, who is known as the Butcher of Plainfield, or the Plainfield Ghoul, who is an American murderer and body snatcher. So here's like another example of like pure evil that the sign. I'm so hesitant to like push any negative narratives, but I do think that I don't want to like gloss over it, because I feel like if you have a degree here, I mean, come on, like Shirley Temple has a planet here. I mean, she's obviously like a good person and you know, I don't think Frank, I think Frank Black, I don't think he's done anything particularly wrong. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, but then there is some stuff that pops up that's like, ooh, that's bad. And I think that happens for a lot of degrees, but it is interesting that this guy, you know, a serial killer and a body snatcher. Like, who gets that name? Okay. Okay. Also, Scottie Pippen, a basketball player, a Crane Kramarik, poet and painter. She's like a weird, like one of those, like, she painted a painting of like Jesus when she was 8. And that's like, and it was like, just kind of famous about that. She was born in 94. Also, Heidi Lynn Fleiss, who was an American madame, and she ran an upscale prostitution ring in Los Angeles, California. I guess this is Saturn, and so it may be like exploitation or providing that beautiful experience for important Saturnian older men, mostly probably. Jean-Baptiste Morin, also more known as Marinus, who is another French mathematician, astrologer, and astronomer, lived in like 1583 or born in 1583. Mary Todd Lincoln. Also, Kurt Friedrich Gödel, right? Like from the book Gödel, Escher, Bach, was a logician, mathematician, philosopher. Just one of the most significant logicians in history. Really brilliant, like beyond brilliant mind. Bill Bellamy, also a comedian who is has a little trophy, the proverbial trophy for, he created the word, the phrase booty call, like a late night call to, you know, initiate some sex. So Bill Bellamy, I didn't know he started the word booty call or the term booty call. Okay. Uranus, the 13th degree of Pisces. We've got Charles Mingus. Uranus in Pisces, improvisation, right? He is like a jazz just an improviser. And he was a proponent of collective improvisation. So that's so Piscean, but that Uranian, that disruption, that inspiration. He worked with like Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, Herbie Hancock. Also, Franco Zeffirelli, which is like another, it's so interesting that Mingus and Zeffirelli have the same Uranus, but another very influential musical figure, but this one in opera. The podcast Bad Gaze recently did an episode on him, and it is fantastic. I'd never really heard of this person, and it's like hilarious and fascinating and super well researched. Little spoiler is Zeffirelli, if you've ever seen the movie With Nail and I, he is basically that character of the lecherous uncle is based on Zeffirelli. So that's a little teaser. If that wets your whistle, you should listen to that bio. Okay, also George Armstrong Custard has Uranus at this degree. And it's like George Custer, he didn't know when to stop fighting, right? He went into battle. He should have known he was going to lose. He got slaughtered, right? He should have been the stronger fighter, and he didn't know when to stop and rest and when to just be peaceful for a moment and not, you know, fight so much that you die. Like when it's very predictable that you will die. Okay. We have a Timur, which is a Turco-Mongolian conqueror who was like, he had his own Timurid dynasty. So he lived like about 100 years after Genghis Khan, right, in Mongolia, in that area. in like the steppes of like mid Eurasia. He was like the same time as Ibn Khaldun or Hafiz e Abru. So he was a patron of art and architecture. So that's really interesting. The Genghis Khan, the hardcore history, Dan Carlin, Genghis Khan shows are incredible. Very incredible learning the history of Genghis Khan. But here's a whole nother figure that came after him that's probably almost as interesting. You can't get as interesting as Genghis Khan, though, I guess. Also, Uranus here, Howard Zinn, right? The author of People's History of the United States. So sort of like disrupting the narrative of the United States. It was published in 1980s, and it's, you know, it's a big like kind of turning over the history, turning of the rock and looking at, you know, the bugs underneath. Roy Calhoun, who was an actor, and he was in a lot of Westerns. So I think like a lot of like conflict and probably fits into that Uranian martial, you know, sword fighting, but, you know, in Westerns, it'll be guns and ropes and stuff. Chuck Yeager, who was an Air Force officer. He lived from 1923 to 2020. He was the first test pilot to, he was a record setting test pilot. In 1947, he was the first pilot in history to confirm that he has exceeded the speed of sound in level flight. Harold Washington, who is the first black mayor of Chicago in the 1980s. Susan Agnelli, who was the first woman to be appointed to Minister of Foreign Affairs in Italy. So these people who are these like Uranian forces, the first, the initial, the inspirational. I mean, it's funny to think of that, you know, of a mayor of Chicago being surprising it was black, but I guess, yeah, there's a point where it sort of switched from like the white supremacist power structure to, you know, letting others in. We've also got Britney Spears' son, Count Ferdinand von Zeppelin, who invented the Zeppelin, and it's a lot of like air flight here, because it's interesting because like flight has so much to do, like Uranus is like this like new technology, new ideas. So we also have Eric Alfred Hartmann, who is a Nazi fighter pilot, who was like the most successful fighter pilot in history. He flew 1,404 combat missions and participated in aerial combat on 825 separate occasions. He was never shot down. He was credited with shooting down 352 Allied aircraft and 345 Soviet and seven American aircraft. And he was never shot down, but he crash landed his plane 16 times due to like damage it incurred in fighting. And then at the end of the war, he got caught by Americans, got handed over to the Russians, and he got 25 years prison sentence or whatever, but he spent like time in the gulags until 1955. And then like lived a long life and was like a air flight pilot or something. Great. And Neptune at Pisces at the 13th degree of Pisces. Vincent van Gogh. So visionary artist. I know he has a lot in Aries as well, but this just Neptune. So this is Neptune in its modern rulership, right? We also have Chicago West, Kim and Kanye's, one of Kim and Kanye's kids, and Stormy Webster, which is Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott's kid. So these are like 2018 births. Stormy Webster already has their parents have been her parents have been getting her like trademarks and stuff, and so she already has all this stuff in her name, which is interesting and weird, and we'll see how that plays out. Also, Charles Webster Ledbetter has Neptune here, who is a major Theosophical Society figure. Prince William, Duke of Gloucester, born in 1689, Protestant English history person. There's also Grand Duke Alexei Petrovich of Russia, who was the son of Tsar Peter I. He despised his father. He did not want to be the successor of the throne. He tried to run away to Austria. That caused a scandal. So they caught up with him, and he died after interrogation under torture, like in his late 20s. That's insane. That he was like killed. He's like, I don't want to be king. And this was like his father really like tortured him to death. Ooh, Russian history is so fun. Okay, also Heinrich Rantzau, a German humanist writer and statesman, who was from like the Renaissance. And he was an astrologer. Also, Prince Leopold, Duke of Albany, eighth child of youngest son of Queen Victoria, who died at 30 from hemophilia because they are inbred. And we have Ludwig Pasteur, who is a German historian, and also another genius, Nobel Prize winner in chemistry, Friedrich Wilhelm Ostwald. Okay, Pluto at the 13th degree of Pisces. We have Louis Braille, inventor of Braille. How interesting is that? I mean, especially to think of like Braille itself as being like these small little punctures and thinking of that like little sword and that tactileness. But I just think that like that profound change in the world of so many people because of that invention of being able to just like access information and stories and art. And I just Braille's so interesting, and just the way the mind works, that words on the page and bumps on the page, and we can all interpret it and understand these very abstract ideas and stories and experiences and feelings. And I just think Braille is such an interesting thing to think about. So Louis Braille, Pluto there, that's really, really like just blows my mind. And I'm just like, that's just like an amazing invention. I just think that's like so positive and amazing. Anyway, Henri Daumier, the painter, caricaturist, printer, French artist. Also, Jules Amédée Barbé d'Arverilly. Oh man, I did not pronounce that right. But he was a French novelist, short story writer. He specialized in mystery tales that explored hidden motivations. And he hinted at evil without being explicitly concerned with anything supernatural. And he influenced lots of like Henry James, Proust. Andrew Johnson, who was the president that succeeded Abraham Lincoln when he got killed, and is sort of maybe one of the worst presidents ever, in the sense that he the North had won this bloody war, and Lincoln got killed, and then Andrew Johnson really dropped the ball and didn't fall through on any promises to former slaves, to like former enslaved people in the South. And I just think it's one of the most tragic lost opportunities of history, and it did not have to go that way. And Reconstruction kind of was less would have been more effective if there was a different president. So, you know, maybe the worst president ever. I don't know. There's probably a few contenders, but pretty bad. John Stuart Mill, who was a a philosopher, utilitarian. He conceived of liberty as justifying the freedom of the individual in opposition to unlimited state and social control. So utilitarian, liberal philosopher, very influential. Jules Grévy, a French, the first sort of Republican French president in the late 19th century. Pierre-Joseph Proudhon, who was a French socialist. He was the first person to ever declare himself an anarchist. And Victor Prosper Considerant, which is a French utopian philosopher, who's a disciple of Charles Fourier. North Node, at this degree, we have Buster Keaton. And Buster Keaton is interesting because when he was a kid, he was like in vaudeville, and the act was basically about him in conflict with his father, and his father sort of like beating him up in this like comedic sort of acrobatic way. But his comedy is always very physical. There's a recent interview on the Marc Maron show about that, a woman who researched Buster Keaton, but very physical comedy and he had a hard life. And I thought his stuff would be really boring. I watched him on Criterion Collection like last year or something. It's Buster Keaton's stuff are truly very entertaining. So if you haven't seen any, I recommend them. They're really still good. They're still very fun to watch. And he's beautiful. He's like young Buster Keaton is just beautiful. It's just like that, just crazy eyes. And another like crazy eyes person or like beautiful eyes, Emma Stone, Heather Graham, Minnie Driver, of course, these beautiful Pisces women, Paul Ryan, who passed like a giant tax cut for the rich and then resigned. And just as like, just Paul Ryan sucks. He like made America a worse place. I mean, so many people worked at that, but he really contributed to taking resources and giving them to people who don't need more resources. Okay. Also Little Richard, who I think that he's like sort of, he's like a great musician and super creative, but also a little bit bad, right? I don't know if he's evil, but he's like kind of has that edge of badness. He's like a rebellion. Also Alexandre Dumas has a North Node here. The guy who wrote Count of Monte Cristo, Three Musketeers, the French novelist who really, really influential French writer. There's just been, it says nearly 200 films based on his work. His father, there's a really amazing biography on his father by Tom Rice called The Black Count. And a lot of Alexandre Dumas's work was inspired by his father's life. And I really recommend that book, The Black Count. It's so good. And also Jacques Chirac, who is a French president. And North Node here's someone who's very interesting, Elizabeth Bathory, who was a Hungarian noblewoman. She owned land in the Kingdom of Hungary, which is now like Hungary, Slovakia, and Romania. And she lived from 1560 to 1614. She's a noblewoman, and she was accused of torturing and killing hundreds of girls and women. Her servants were put on trial and convicted, and Bathory was confined to her home because I guess she was a noblewoman, so there's different rules. But she was imprisoned in December 1610. So some people say that it was a witch hunt. I mean, other people maybe – I don't – she was put on trial, and the people brought physical evidence, like – including the mutilated, dead, and dying girls that they found at the time of her arrest. And it said that she had a lot of, like, after she died, people kept on writing about her, and there were tales like she would take a bath in the blood of virgins to retain her youth, and the stuff became more and more fantastical. But it became part of the folklore, and she's basically, like, stories about her laid, like, the groundwork for Bram Stoker's Dracula. But although he doesn't seem like he was taking – people looked at his notes and say there's no evidence to this. But, I mean, this is, like, an original vampire. I mean, and Elizabeth Bathory, there's, like, a painting of her. It's just, like – it's like, a pretty insane story. And that's, like, okay – pure evil, pure evil, if any of that's true. Virat Kohli, who is an Indian cricket player, plays internationally. He's probably a great guy. North Node. So Ascendant, the most unreliable point of all the points, of all this unreliable data. But hopefully there's interesting stuff. I was hoping if you have this point in your chart, I hope there's, like, I'm throwing out a bunch of names because you'd be like, wow, somehow I really connect with that. Who knows? Just throwing this stuff out here. We have Robert Zoller from Project Hindsight. I'm pretty sure that that's accurate because he's an astrologer, so he would know what his birth time is. also, Jimmy Fallon, Notorious B.I.G., Laura Dern, Nancy Spungen, like a Sid and Nancy. Nancy, that one. Bataille, the philosopher. Warren G. Harding, the president. And Yogi Berra, the baseball player and quote sayer. So that's the 13th degree of Pisces. So this is a pretty intense degree. But thanks for listening. I'll see you next time around. Bye.